Welcome to the Sean Chandler Podcast, a place to talk movies and nerd culture way too much. Today's episode is going to be pretty different from a normal episode. Griffin, my co-host, and I did not record a normal episode of the podcast this week or last week. So we've got something a little bit different planned for you. I'll explain that in just a minute, but a little bit of housekeeping before we get started with all of that. I've been spending some time thinking about what I want to do with the podcast and realizing it isn't exactly what I've wanted it to be. And mostly that is due to the year 2020. When I first set out to do this podcast, I specifically didn't want it to just be me and maybe a guest or two talking about the movie news, because that podcast already exists. Other people are already doing that. And it's not that I was opposed to having that as an element of the podcast, but I specifically brainstormed all sorts of ideas of what I really wanted to do as my strategy for the podcast. And I had all these ideas about doing little editorials based around whatever the new big release was that week, maybe doing some history behind the franchise, and some different types of content than what I normally post on my channel, but not just giving opinion pieces on movie news. And tied to that, I was going to look at whatever the new movie release was and try and get a guest that could have an interesting conversation about that. So you see that a little bit in the first kind of month of the podcast, where when Sonic the Hedgehog came out, I had Chris Parker from 3C on, because he's into that retro kind of stuff, that vintage sort of stuff. Talking about Sonic was a big thing he talked about on his channel before that movie came out. And so, therefore, it made sense to bring him on to have the kind of this discussion about Sonic and then a discussion about video game movies in general, where he could have an expertise. So that was always my vision for the podcast. Of course, we'd talk about any big movie news that dropped, but I also wanted it to be a lot more editorials, having deeper conversations tied to what the new big releases were. Then the year 2020 happened, and that kind of messed up my plan, because we haven't really had any new big releases. I mean, we've had like two, or I guess really only one, maybe a couple scattered little things here and there. But since mid-March, everything kind of shut down. And so it turned into, all right, what's the movie news this week? And you couldn't really predict that. So I couldn't schedule my guests based off of whatever the new movie news would be, because you don't know what the new movie's news is going to be. And so then kind of my whole plan, my whole thought for the podcast kind of changed a lot. So then it was what movie news dropped, and most of the movie news that dropped turned into what movies got delayed this week, and will movie theaters make it? And so that's what we talked about for like 6 months. And so that over the last, especially 2 months, where we thought there was a glimmer of hope that things were going to get back to normal with when Tenet came out, and then that's just not really what happened. It was kind of the opposite. It showed, no, we're not going to be getting movies for a while. And then the last 2 months has been just clarifying that. Every studio has basically pulled almost everything until deep into 2021. And so then I look at it and I go, okay, it's going to be 6 more months of my plan for the podcast not really being able to happen. So I'm trying to say, I'm thinking what I want to do with that information, because the podcast just hasn't been exactly what I want it to be. And what I don't want to do is go so far down a path that we're a year in and it turns into everyone that likes it just because we're talking about just movie news. And the further you go down a path, the harder it is to come back. The more you establish yourself doing something, the more difficult it is to change it down the line. And so before the Sean Chandler podcast gets too entrenched as the Sean Chandler and Griffin Schiller talk about the latest movie news podcast, I just wanted to pause and kind of figure out what I want the plan to be. So that's kind of what's going on behind the scenes of why there wasn't a podcast last week. This week, it's actually even a little bit more depressing. That I am both processing what I want to do with the podcast, but my dog died on Monday. He was 13, and so he was old, but the way it played out was very sudden. He was totally healthy Sunday afternoon, or no signs that something was wrong. And then he started acting a little funny Sunday night. And then lunchtime Monday, he died literally while we were driving him to the vet. I mean, it was very dramatic. So we're still processing that. So I just haven't been up for anything that's too terribly demanding. So not to get too depressing, but I guess that's what's going on. I just try to be honest with some of that stuff. So I'm brainstorming what I want to do with the podcast. I do plan on doing one next week, right before Halloween, because it is Halloween, so it gives me a theme to talk about. And there will be some version of the podcast, but I'm thinking through exactly how I want to do that to get a little bit closer to my original vision during a year where it's tricky to do that because we don't know what movie news is coming and what's coming out. So that's why we didn't record a proper version of the podcast this week. I just was not in the mood to try and find topics and run the podcast and everything like that. But that doesn't mean that Griffin and I didn't sit down to talk some movie news. So yesterday it was announced that Jared Leto will be filming some new scenes for Zack Snyder's Justice League. And so Griffin and I went live on his channel and we talked about that for about 35 minutes. We talked about some potential rumors about Batfleck TV show. Touched a little bit on Gotham PD, what their WB is doing with their properties in regards to television. So we talked for about 30 minutes about all this stuff. And so I thought it's the same thing as my podcast, or it's the same basic idea of what we've been doing and talking about some fun news. And I thought I would just use that as this week's podcast. And I would suspect there might be a shift a little bit in this direction, at least for the next couple of months while I think some of this through, of instead of me trying to like scavenge together like six movie news stories that some of them are interesting and some of them are I'm just trying to find something to talk about. I think we might focus a little bit more on picking one or two stories that are really interesting to me, to my audience, what we've talked about in the past. And dig deeper on them as opposed to talking about a bunch of random stuff that just doesn't lead to anything. That's what I'm not. And talking about movie delays, I'm just not interested in doing that. That's not why I started the podcast, to talk about movie delays. So with that said, since you are listening to the audio version of this, because there's only an audio version of this, be sure to leave a review and a rating down below wherever you listen to your podcasts and everything like that. Does help us rank just a little bit better so people can kind of discover it, even as we're discovering what we're trying to do with the podcast. And with that said, here it is.
Yes, I did not stutter when I mentioned this at the top. Jared Leto is returning to the DCEU. Jared Leto's Joker will be coming back, and he's going to be in Zack Snyder's Justice League. This is coming to us from The Hollywood Reporter. It is confirmed. So this is actual legitimate news. This is not a rumor. This is not, you know, being reported from some fan site or whatever. This is actually coming to us from a legitimate source. And here to break it down with me is the always great Sean Chandler from Sean Chandler Talks About. Sean, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. Looking forward to talking some interesting movie news. The type you like. Saw that one and I went, all right, what rumor mill site is this from? Oh, Hollywood Reporter. Oh, wow, this is going down.
It's wild, man. I didn't necessarily think that the notion of Jared Leto returning as the Joker was, far-fetched. Like, I think many of us thought that maybe he'd come back in some capacity, whether it be like some separate HBO Max series, whether it be a Birds of Prey sequel or, whatever. But I don't think many of us saw him being integrated into Zack Snyder's Justice League. That's right. The thing to me that's just sort of like, this is odd. Because I guarantee you he was not in the original version of this, right. This script, you know?
And yes, right. I mean, it's one of those ones. It wasn't on our radar for this whatsoever. There hadn't been rumors, speculation of all the things that they've put out, images, graphics of footage that was cut, alternate trailer, all the things that have happened. What has not been in there was Jared Leto.
Yeah.
And so that's where when you kind of get the news, you're like, I don't even know what this means. I don't know where this would fit in. I don't know the context. And that's somewhat everything about this project is interesting because of its inherent nature and the interference and everything.
Yeah.
But when you have a full movie done and we've seen it, we know kind of in a sense what this is. And then they go, oh, by the way, Joker's going to be in it now. Like, you start going, like, you have a structure, like, you have an actual very clear structure of what this movie looks like, and you go, where do you even put him in? Like, is there a montage of the criminals going wild at the beginning when you're in the hopeless phase? Is, like, everybody like, man, the world does kind of suck right now. Maybe we should all team up. What does this mean? Yeah. Where does it go? I have no clue.
I have no clue either. And the article that we're going to get to in a second here does not give too much more insight other than the fact that he will be returning to play the Joker in the Snyder Cut. So let's pull up that exclusive from the Hollywood Reporter right here. So, yes, it's coming to us from Boris Kitt, who is the Hollywood Reporter's resident scooper over there, Jared Leto, to play Joker in Zack Snyder's Justice League. And so, yeah, the last time we saw him was in 2016 Suicide Squad. And yeah, I mean, people were like, OK, is he going to be in Birds of Prey? Are they going to bring him in there or whatnot? And then, you know, he wasn't in that film. And then I think that many of us sort of assumed that because he was not in Birds of Prey, there was no direct. I mean, they referenced him several times because it was Harley Quinn. But like because there was no Jared Leto actually being in there, many of us were like, OK, he's done. The gamble didn't work out. They're not going to bring him back for anything else. And so now he's in this. He's in the Snyder Cut. And with everything that's going on here, it's got me sort of thinking that HBO Max might be the home for this whole Snyderverse thing. And the other thing that I should note here is that the Snyder Cut as we know it, it's officially going to be called Zack Snyder's Justice League. That is the official title of it. I remember, like, you know, back at Fandom, they're like, well, we don't have the official title for it quite yet. It is now officially Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's being overseen by HBO Max, and they're financing the new round of reshoots. And it's not going to just be the unfinished stuff from what they shot back in 2017. They are going to shoot new material, which we did know prior to this. And then they're going to air as a 4-episode event series next year. It should be noted right here that shooting is currently underway with Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, and this is interesting, Amber Heard, because we didn't know what was going to happen with her. Was Mira going to come back? Were they going to replace Amber Heard because of what's going on with the whole Johnny Depp thing? We had no idea. And now we know that she's going to be reprising her role in the Snyder Cut on top of Jared Leto. And that's really the extent of the news here. It goes on to sort of talk about, you know, Jeff Johns and Berg sort of, being removed from the film. And then also, you know, posing the question, you know, does this mean that Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, you know, could she show up in the film or whatever? There's a lot of questions that sort of come with this. But Sean, I am going to throw it to you. Other than just sort of like the bizarre sort of like what does this mean nature of the story here? What are your sort of just like big takeaways initially?
My initial feeling hearing that Jared Leto is returning as the Joker for Justice League is that I'm just kind of open to letting us see what happens when he's not in a project that's being micromanaged by a studio. It's very clear that Suicide Squad, just like Justice League, was rewritten, reshot, re-edited by the studio, not the creative force that originally intended to do it.
Right.
And so when you see this version of the Joker from Jared Leto, that is my least favorite version of the Joker, I can't blame him. I can't blame Ayer because I don't really even know who's responsible for what. So I don't mind the idea that we'll get to see a little bit more of it. The film that this version of the Joker is in is not good. The way he's used is awkward and strange. And I don't think he's gotten his fair shake. There's plenty of criticisms of, like, look, he's got tattoos. It says, ha, 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 you know, because he's the Joker. Those aren't good ideas. They're not clever. They're not witty. But that doesn't mean that there weren't other things that could potentially have been good with this version. So I don't hate the idea. There is always that fear of, if we're just pulling everything back in, at what point in time does it feel unfocused? Did they have enough footage to warrant, or like this sort of expansion to where you're like, oh, let's bring the Joker in. Let's see, yeah, who else can we get in here? Right. I don't know. But my first feeling, where I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's the worst. He's easily the worst Joker. Why would you do this? It's going to ruin the movie. Is the Suicide Squad bad because Jared Leto's in it? No. The movie's just all over the place.
Right.
And much like that version of the Joker, which the character, it just felt like they threw a lot of ideas at the wall. But that doesn't mean you couldn't do something good with it. So that's kind of my gut initial feeling.
Well, and the other thing is like, you know, whatever your thoughts may be on Jared Leto's portrayal as the Joker, we can all agree that he did something different and he definitely made the character his own, which is something that, you know, the first time I saw Suicide Squad, it stuck out to me because like he was genuinely terrifying. You know, he really did feel unhinged, like a sociopathic serial killer in a way that we hadn't necessarily seen before. And in a way that was like, oh, go ahead.
You have the scene at the very beginning of the movie where they're in the nightclub.
Yeah.
And Harley Quinn is sitting there and he's like tempting the guy to hit on Harley Quinn. And you're sitting there thinking, whatever this guy does, he's about to die. Like what?
Yeah.
Like what would you do? And it like you said, like it's actually scary with this guy that's joking around, messing around, and he'll kill you at the end of the joke. Like there's something there that people do underappreciate and that we didn't really get a fair shake for this version of the Joker.
Oh, like for said, sure.
He's my least favorite. He is favorite, but I don't know that that would be the case if you got a proper Joker story.
And I think that's that there is a lot of truth to that. And like, you know, I would be really curious to see like what an entanglement between Ben Affleck's Batman and Jared Leto's Joker looks like. In fact, I might believe that one of the reasons why Snyder is going to bring back the Joker and put him in the Snyder cut is because we never got to see Batman and the Joker, you know, face to face. We never got to see them have, you know, fisticuffs or whatever. So, you know, maybe this is one of those instances where it was like, because we never got to see that, Snyder is now using that as an opportunity to give us the Batfleck and Leto Joker sort of thing that we never got to see. And I don't know, that to me does interest me. And I think that could be, you know, obviously there have been rumors that, you know, HBO Max might be interested in a Batfleck series, a Ben Affleck Batfleck series. Could this be a gateway into that? You know, now we're getting into major speculation territory, but
I've been saying since before Batfleck was hired, don't do a new Batman in the movies, do a Batman TV show. If they did, because he's a detective and he's a brawler. You can just look at the show Daredevil and you go, right, like this. You do this with Batman and it has like a season long mystery and you have the best show on television, and there has never been any sort of dream that you could get like you'd assume that you would get kind of a mid tier television actor for something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it was Ben Affleck, that sounds like the greatest television show of all time.
it does.
Affleck Batman is with Ben. I'm trying to not get my hopes up too much on something that sounds way too good to be true. That's literally what I've been saying for 8 years now, except better, because it would have a heavyweight actual A-lister as the star and a guy that, you know, I didn't necessarily like him with the machine guns and everything. But besides that, I mean, he brought it.
I agree, you know, and I feel like because AT&T, they've been such big supporters of Snyder's vision and like having him see his vision finally realized, that, you know, and they're the ones with all the money at the table here. Maybe they would be interested in investing in something like a Batman series. You know, it is interesting. This is a little bit of a tangent from, you know, what we were talking about with Leto, but it is related to it. It's interesting how, you know, Warner Brothers has always maintained the, at least, you know, in my opinion, just based off of the stuff we've seen, you know, in their television department, it always seems like they feel like Batman is too good for TV. He's too prestigious. You know, he has to be on the big screen.
Yeah.
And whereas, like, you know, Superman's been on TV, Wonder Woman's been on TV.
Every decade, there is a television version. Lois and Clark when I was growing up, Smallville when you were growing up.
Yeah.
And then we had him on Arrowverse a little bit, but now he's going to get his next own TV show next year. Like, he's constantly on television. Batman, 1960s.
I know it is strange. It's like, because it's like that show sort of like tainted the live action TV approach to Batman. Because I mean, he's thrived in an animated format, right? The animated series is beloved. The Batman Beyond is beloved. People love him in the Justice League series. It's like, so
people are coming around to the Batman animated series show, and like people are very critical of it at first because it was the follow up to Batman the animated series and Batman Beyond. But people now look back at it and they go, it was different, but it needed to be and actually had its own version of sophisticated storytelling. But yeah. I mean, like, you just think about it. Superman makes absolutely no sense as a TV show because you can't pull the special effects off. And to have a threat for Superman, you need a villain that also has big special effects. There's no way to do it in a way that doesn't come off corny in TV star problems. And Smallville was the only one that was wise enough to say, okay, no flights, no tights. And so they limited his powers to a certain extent and gave him a bunch of high school drama he had to overcome. But, you know, CW putting Supergirl and stuff like that, I guess it started on CBS, you just run out of villains that they can battle in scenarios and you start having horrible special effects. Batman punches people in the face and drives a car.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's the character that you can do. And he's the great detective. That lends itself so well to television.
Well, and if you get a television format, you know, if they do decide to, you know, this is all, you know, speculation, hypothetical, but if they're doing this and they're bringing back Jared Leto's Joker to be in this Snyderverse version of Batman, you know, you could have a few episodes where you just focus on Jared Leto's Joker, right? Like, I don't really know how the structure would go, but say it is like maybe like 10 episodes or so for a series, maybe have one episode that follows like him, you know, controlling whatever like mafia crime, you know, organization that he does, or that it looks like he does in, you know, Ayer's Suicide Squad and stuff like that. So like, I don't know, there's interesting routes you can go with it. You can introduce, you know, less popular characters. I also think that television is a great sort of like testing ground for unknown villains. It's how they can get, you know, notoriety. And then maybe if they end up being big successes, you can incorporate them into, you know, a live action feature or something like that. And I know some people are probably a little hesitant, like, oh, is this going to take away from what they're doing with Robert Pattinson's Batman and stuff of that nature? And I, you know, initially I probably would have said, yes, it does feel like they're stealing a little bit of his thunder, but they are just so disconnected that right. I feel like you can't have a Batman on television and you can have that whole universe, you know, in a series format. And then you can also have your, you know, Batman and film in whatnot. You can have two Jokers. It's not, we just want to see stories with these characters. It doesn't necessarily matter like what format we're getting them in. People aren't going to be that confused.
Yeah. I can see there's a point to where you don't want brand confusion to an extent. You know, I interact with a lot of questions with people. They're like, wait, is this in this continuity? Wait, why can't they do this? And, you know, like the one last week where, what was it? There is something talking about like why, I don't know, all these different recasts with Spider-Man and stuff like that. People were confused. Like, why is it a big deal? Why don't they just bring back this actor? It's like, well, they're in different continuities. Like that's what makes it interesting. Like, it was Blade. That's right. That's right. Someone's asking like, why if they're recasting, if they're bringing this person back for all these different movies, if this person played this character for so many years, why don't they just bring Wesley Snipes in back for the MCU?
Yeah.
And I was like, because it's not in the Blade trilogy is not in the MCU. It's a different continuity entirely. It's like, oh, what are you talking about? The MCU didn't exist in 1998.
Yeah.
There is some confusion. People don't know some of these things. And so I can see where there's a certain amount of fear on that. But at the same time, like it's really simple to just, we haven't seen the Batman yet with Robert Pattinson to know how different it is. But if it has all different characters and no ties to anything, even if they're mildly confused, who cares? It's not like they're not going to watch it over that. Like
that's yeah, like, for sure.
It's like some people from watching. So, I mean, I can mildly see some of it. I think the cinematic stuff is more confusing, I think, when you're like, when you have Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker and Jared Leto's coming back.
Yeah.
And then we have five Batman, or 137 Batmans, according to Michael Keaton, in The Flash. Like, that seems more confusing than, oh, there's a TV show over here doing something, and we're doing something over here. So maybe, you know, I think, yeah. You know, but people can put it together that they're different.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, going back to the notion of Snyder, the Snyderverse living on HBO Max, I feel like that's a great thing. Like, here's the thing. Like, they're dumping this amount of money into it, and they're bringing back people, and they're doing these reshoots because they know that they're going to make their money back. Their investment will be well spent. There is a loud, dedicated following of people who want to see these versions of the characters realized. And so, you know, that includes Jared Leto's Joker and all that stuff. And so, you know, having... If they decided to make more properties with these versions of the characters, with like maybe Zack Snyder and like a showrunner type position, and then, you know, having all of these spinoffs and whatnot, and they're, you know, delegated, or they're relegated to HBO Max. I don't know. To me, that's just like, one, it rewards the vocal fans who have been really passionate and have fought to have, you know, their Zach's version of these characters realized and whatnot. And then also it just provides like a nice sort of different Elseworld like continuity, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like something that's just like so vastly different from what we're getting in, like, you know, their main cinematic slate. And so it's like, why there is room for this self-contained Elseworld, you know, Snyderverse to live along with, you know, the films they're doing and whatnot. So I don't know, that to me, that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm for more Batman, so more Batman the better for me.
for sure.
But yeah, so people are in the comment section asking about like the Gotham PD show.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that's where you could, talking about confusion, I think when you on one platform have different continuities, that can be confusing. So if you have a Snyderverse thing going on and then Gotham PD, which is Reevesverse.
Yeah.
People associate the channel with a continuity, and there's two.
That's a good point.
That I could see is confusing for the same reason that I think if they're putting out movies with seven different Jokers, that's confusing. You're like, which one goes with which? And in a reasonable sense, like, I mean,
right.
Like, you know, people getting confused if you just do this one-off Joker movie, that's on them. But when you actually have several different things kind of going on, it can be confusing. So, I mean, I think there's some truth to some of that about confusion, but at the same time, we'd have to see what they're proposing, what actually is happening, how much of this is just speculation. But, you know, more Batman the merrier, I'd say that.
Yeah, for sure.
I very much would be happy if we got more of this Batfleck fellow.
Yes, that Batfleck fellow. I want to see more of him, for sure. So Owen likes comics in here. First of all, great to see you, buddy. But he has an interesting thought, which is, I imagine it's most likely just a cameo. Either way, interesting to see Zach's cut come together. Agreed. I am interested to see what happens there. But that just brought up the question in my mind. Do you think that it will be just a cameo? Like, how big of a role do you think we're talking here for Jared Leto?
I can't see it being a big role simply because, for what we mentioned at the very beginning of this, that there's not the structure that we know is there doesn't have an obvious place for him to show up. And with all the stuff that they've, you know, teased before, it wasn't, oh yeah, we had this whole subplot about the Joker that Whedon cut out. That hasn't been the discussion. The whole reason that this is like, what? He's coming back in Justice League? Is because it's just a reshoot. And so that makes it seem like they're filling in some space in one of these four episodes. So episode one is the world without Superman, the world without hope. And therefore, you need an hour of a world without hope. So you have these different show our different heroes in their space and what drives Batman to go hunt everybody down to try and save the world. What, you know, I mean, you know, obviously I'm speculating on this.
Right.
But you think the equivalent of that parademon scene in the movie we got, suddenly episode one isn't this clearly reshot parademon scene. It's Batfleck battling Joker and something comes, like, that's what I imagine. That I think that's kind of the, like, the more obvious path that this could take.
Yeah.
It's a little sequence, a little subplot in one of these parts. It's not, now the Joker's a major part of the story, and he shows up in the battle, and he's the one that actually makes the final shot to kill Steppenwolf. I mean, that. He teams up with him, and the final shot of the movie is Batman and him high-fiving through Zack Snyder style. You know, it's not going to be that. I'm sure it's only going to be in one of the four parts or two of the parts, but a small, like, it's the bridge between two of them or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
pretty,
yeah.
Pretty minor, but a nice tease of sorts that teases a bigger world that's populated. I think, and when you do it as a four-part deal, you can do that. You can spend more time in the world of each character. And so you get like this whole backstory of Cyborg and his time with his father being built out and he was a football player. And you get Iris and you're with the Flash and his relationship and that scene with the car that we saw in the trailer. Okay, so what is it for Batman? Well, he's probably doesn't have a girlfriend back home, but he does have the Joker, the love-hate relationship of his life.
Yeah, that is a good point, because you do have to establish where these heroes are at this point. Yeah, after the death of Superman and everything like that. And I really don't think they're going to be doing it the way that they did in the Joss Whedon version of this film, where he's just chasing this random guy on the rooftops and then like the parademon comes in and everything. I feel like, yeah, I agree. It almost does make more sense to include the Joker in there and then have, you know, get the confrontation that we never got, may never get again between those two actors. And so, yeah, it is almost like a logical sort of just, I guess, plan, if you will, that I, you know, none of us really thought about. I guess the other question is, and this is sort of the thing that's been on people's minds. You know, David Ayer came out earlier this week and had some tweets regarding like his cut of Suicide Squad, how he was like, he like rewatched it recently and he like loved it or whatever, said it was like in the same vein of that first trailer. Do you think that with Jared Leto coming back to do this, that maybe there could be some sort of loose connection? Does this mean that we might get an Ayer cut down the road or something? Or do you think maybe that hinders on the success of the Snyder cut?
I don't think they're going to green light it until they see the Snyder cut numbers. And then when they see the Snyder cut numbers, I wouldn't be surprised if we got an announcement the next week. Like, you get it, or not even, if it plays out one per week or however it plays out, you get an announcement on the last episode. By the way, coming October 2021, the Ayer cut. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened at all. They're going to pay attention to those numbers. I'd probably be surprised if we got an announcement before that, simply because it's too much of a financial risk without seeing the payoff.
Yeah.
But if they get the numbers that I would assume that they would get. Or
I was just going to say, they're probably at least considering the idea
I think it's absolutely on their minds. I think conversations are being had. Like, he seems like he's very open, saying stuff that he was not saying. Like, he's a very open guy. And so as soon as Snyder Cut was announced, he's talking about all these things that he would have done, did different, all these changes that they made, as if the gloves are off. He can say whatever he wants. Right. And so I think it's very much a conversation that's being had. And I think they're just trying to see if the financials make sense on it. It doesn't seem like it would be as expensive to finish, but I don't know. I don't know how much he would need to get done.
I don't even think there would need to be any reshoots, because he has all the footage. It was just like the whole film was reworked in the edit, and the tone is completely off. So I don't even think that. I think he even had a tweet about saying, like, I don't even think I need to do reshoots. So, I don't know. To me, that, like, yeah, I agree with you. I think it does. It's more based. It's more on contingent upon the success of the Snyder Cut rather than it is, you know, people accepting Jared Leto's Joker in this. And, you know, if you're a fan of that interpretation of the Joker, it'll just give you one more time or opportunity to see him, which I guess sort of segues into my next and final question, which is, do you think this will be the final time we see Jared Leto play the Joker? I mean, obviously you and I were kind of going back and forth speculating about, you know, if they do a Batfleck series, then maybe he can pop up there. But like, right now, with all the information we have, what are the odds that he returns after this?
Since prior to 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, I was under the assumption he was done. And it seemed like he'd kind of said that. They'd kind of said that. It feels a little bit like all bets are off in light of this information. But then again, it's such a weird project that it's difficult to predict future things off of this very strange, unpredictable project.
Right.
So I would think it'd be pretty unlikely outside of the Ayer cut. Because he wasn't in Birds of Prey. Like, when he wasn't in Birds of Prey at all, it was like,
yeah,
he's not even in Birds of Prey. What else, what project would make more sense for him to come back? they literally already recast the Joker, and they've done a movie about Harley Quinn, and he's in none of it. But he shows up in Justice League?
Okay. Yeah, that is odd when you think about it. It's like the fact that movie didn't use him. Well, because it seemed like they were trying to move away from him at the time, right? Like the Birds of Prey was trying
to
do its own thing.
The concept of the movies were moving away from him.
Yeah, exactly. So like I think it does make sense why he wasn't in there, but it is interesting that he'll be in Zack Snyder's Justice League, but he won't be in Birds of Prey
at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So no. I think it's pretty unlikely that he'd show up in anything. But it's also, this is such a weird experiment that, you know, even the big question people keep asking, like, so which one is canon? Is it
right?
Theater cut, Whedon, or is it Snyder cut? Which one's the canon version of it? So there's even questions like that that make it tough to even predict the future on some of this stuff, because you don't even. Basics of what is the canon,
right?
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of questions that I'm sure we'll find out sooner or later, but basically all we have right now is that Jared Leto is coming back as the Joker. Amber Heard is coming back as Mira from Aquaman, so that'll be really interesting just to see her back there. And, you know, will that be her last time playing Mira? Who knows?
Seeing how the internet responds to that.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. It's like, oh man, they're gonna lose their minds over that. And then I guess that probably means Johnny Depp is fine to be in the Fantastic Beasts film. So who knows?
They seem to just light on by.
What? Yeah, they just
choking fans, pooping on beds, whatever. Don't even address it. Just keep going.
Yeah, they just like they just completely ignore it. Wait till it dies down, and they're just like, okay, I think we're good now. We can just kind of push ahead. So probably not the best way to conduct business, but you know, lo and behold, that is what they're doing. But guys, before we give you just some closing thoughts here, be sure to go down in the comment section and let us know what your thoughts are of this news of Jared Leto coming back as the Joker for Zack Snyder's Justice League. Are you excited? Do you think that this might offer him the opportunity to, I don't know, show us his fullest potential and all that stuff? Like, just let's have a great conversation down there, and curious to see what you all have to say. Sean, do you have any sort of final thoughts before we close this out?
Yeah, same thought as always. I love when things like this happen. I love when we get these alternate versions where you get to truly see how two different people would tell the same story. There's very few times where you get extreme versions of it. Like most director's cuts, it's like, yeah, that's more of an extended cut than a director's cut. Or the director approved the one that was in theaters. They just might like this one a little bit better. I love that we're getting a true reimagining of Justice League that they're actually putting money into.
Yeah.
There is nothing that has ever happened that's the equivalent of the Snyder cut. That's cool.
I agree with you. And on that premise alone, I am really excited for that. And if it includes Jared Leto, you know, in the context that we're sort of talking about, I think it makes sense. I have been vocal that I'm not the biggest fan of his interpretation of the character. It didn't quite.
My least favorite.
for sure. Yeah, it didn't quite land with me. I understand the, you know, the notion that it's like, oh, he didn't get a fair shake at the character. And I think that is fair. And this might offer some closure to that, you know, while he wasn't in a full film. You know, this might be what we need to see. Like, okay, now we can sort of better judge his interpretation of the character. So on that alone, I am curious to see what they do. Whether he was going to be in the film or not, I could have taken it or left it.
Right.
It's not the biggest deal, but I'm curious to see if my opinion will change upon seeing him in the Snyder Cut. But yeah, guys, that's where we're at right now. Jared Leto, he's going to be in the Snyder Cut, and it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how this whole thing plays out. And, you know, what other announcements are going to come out about people that are joining the Snyder Cut? Are they going to announce like a Snyderverse, you know, thing on HBO Max and start greenlighting series? I don't know. It's just really interesting to think of the prospect that this film could bring.
There you have it. There was our discussion. Thank you guys so much for tuning in on a slightly different episode of this podcast. If you have any thoughts on the podcast and the direction we should go, you can always message me on Instagram. I read almost everything, respond to almost everything over there on Instagram. Sean Talks About, you can find me there. If you have some thoughts, input on where you think maybe we should take things, I would love to hear your input on it. And like I said, I always want to have some element of talking about movie news. That's one of the things I love about the podcast. It gives me an opportunity to talk about movie news without just having to do standalone episodes. But I don't want it to just be that. That's the key thing. I want to have kind of deeper discussions about other things related to movies that I, once again, don't talk about normally on my channel. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. The right way that I can continue to do that, have those discussions, have guests on that add kind of extra value, and have fun conversations that I think you would enjoy. That's what I'm looking for, the right context and mechanisms to do that. And I don't feel like I've done a good job of that over the last 6 months, or at least not for what I had in mind for the podcast. So there you have it. There's what's going on behind the scenes and some fun discussion with Griffin about Jared Leto returning as the Joker for Justice League, which is really just an interesting thing, that the way that this Snyder Cut thing is playing out. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to leave that rating and review, and keep talking movies too much.